Welcome to the Dermatology Interest Group Association podcast, or DIGA podcast, where we talk about everything from how to become a stellar dermatology applicant to interesting topics in dermatology.
From research advice to interviewing tips, you will be prepared to follow the path to become a world-class dermatologist.
All right, welcome to another episode of the DIGA podcast. This is your host, Mark Conley, and today I have with me Dr. Ben Garcia, who recently matched in 2023 into the University of Texas Medical Branch Dermatology Program. Dr. Garcia is currently finishing his transitional year at Baylor All Saints in Fort Worth, Texas, and he shares with us how he was able to match into his home program and how he was able to prepare for residency and just some neat tips and tricks about how you can prepare to apply to dermatology residency. One of the neat things that I think you can look forward to in this episode is he shares a cool story about how he was able to use social media to reach out to a physician and ultimately work with that physician on a research project, just found something that they had in common and reached out and established a relationship from there. So I thought that was really useful, and I hope that you find this whole episode as helpful as I did. And with that, we'll see you on the skin side.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the DIGA podcast. So grateful to have Dr. Ben Garcia on with us today. Thanks, Ben. Do you mind introducing yourself?
No, absolutely. Hi, everyone. Yeah. So my name is Dr. Benjamin Garcia, born and raised in the Rio Grande Valley, deep South Texas, born in McAllen. Spent some of my early years in McAllen and then went to Mission, then did undergrad at UTRGV. And then I did a brief stint of summer research before I started medical school at the NIH. And then I was at UTMB, graduated class of 2023. And now I'm currently doing my transitional year at Baylor All Saints here in Fort Worth. And then I go back to UTMB for my dermatology residency.
So cool. Very cool path. Just jumping into it, when did you know you wanted to do dermatology and why?
So I went into med school immediately knowing I wanted to do derm. It was actually prior to med school that I kind of made the switch. So I wanted to be a pathologist for the longest time. I thought forensic pathology was so cool. I was really into, at the time, like CSI Miami. And I was always so enamored with like the scenes with the medical examiners and then doing like autopsies and all of that. So that was like probably like middle school, I was fascinated by that. So when I went into high school, I knew, okay, like this is what I'm interested in, but I used to be very shy. And so then I kind of like switched course to just wanting to go from forensics to more clinical and anatomical pathology. And luckily enough, I was in HOSA, you know, in high school, and one of our HOSA sponsors worked in the lab at one of the local hospitals, and we would get to talking about pathologists and what they do. And I was like, oh my God, this is fascinating. Because I've always loved like microscopes, like microbiology and histology. So I thought it was a perfect fit for a shy kid like me. I'm like, oh, let me just read slides all day in the comfort of my little office. But then that was the idea all up until undergrad. And then about the last year or so, that transitional period between me graduating, doing my little stint at the NIH and then starting med school, is when I kind of made the switch to derm. I found myself to be much more extroverted. I was getting out of my shell. And I think largely because I was being comfortable, I became comfortable with my sexuality. And then I had some of the worst acne in my life during that period. I mean, we're talking about like huge zits all over my cheeks, all over my chin, down into my neck. I was so self-conscious. And I had only ever seen a dermatologist once before. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know, like nothing over the counter is helping. So let me just go. And I went to see her, and she was actually a UTMB graduate. And she asked me if I used sunscreen. And I was like, no, like I don't go to the beach. Why am I going to wear sunscreen? And then she was like, oh my God, no, you have to wear sunscreen every day. It's so important. And I was like, what is she talking about? Like, I don't get this. And then obviously, you know, she gave me like the standard like acne treatments or whatever, but then it piqued my interest. And so I kind of fell down like the derm rabbit hole, and I was watching like YouTube videos about acne treatments, about sunscreen, about UVA, UVB. And Actually, there's a dermatologist on YouTube, and she's also well known on social media. Dr. Dre, she's a Houston-based dermatologist. And I just like was diving into all of her videos. And I mean, she talked about like psoriasis, and I was like, oh my God, this is all so cool. So that little seed was planted in my head. And so when I started med school, I was like, okay, let me entertain this. And then I, you know, just kind of joined our dig, did some stuff throughout medical school that further piqued my interest. And it's been like a natural progression of me just enjoying all aspects of the specialty. And I really feel like I found my place, as corny as that sounds, but like, there's just so many aspects of dermatology that I love. And I still can do that nerdy path stuff because dermpath is such a huge part of dermatology. So yeah, it's like kind of just blossomed to where I'm at today. So now I'm a huge skin nerd.
That's awesome. And that's a really cool transition, like from being interested in pathology to, you know, dermatology fits so well with pathology. So it makes a ton of sense. And yeah, super cool. And so rewinding a little bit. So you said when you got into med school, you were kind of like ready to go with dermatology. So I was wondering if your experience at the NIH influenced that at all, or was it was that kind of separate? Was that just kind of like a good experience?
No, I mean, it was a wonderful experience for like not the reasons you would think. So I had done like organic chemistry type research all throughout undergrad. And so when I went to the NIH, I joined like a glycobiology lab. And so I was kind of helping out with more of their like chemical synthesis of certain carbohydrates that they were kind of trying to correlate with like certain antigens on like cancer cells and developing antibodies to these antigens, something like that. And I absolutely hated it. Like I despised it. It was torture. And I just realized, because there was a point where I potentially wanted to pursue like MD, PhD or do some kind of like bench research throughout med school. And that experience, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, this is just not for me. I'm totally a clinic dude. Like, I cannot do this kind of stuff. But it was more of like a growing experience. I had never lived away from home, you know? So to spend like 3.5-ish months in like the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area was like, whoa, you know, paying like bills for the first time, maneuvering like so far away. And it was a really great like growing experience for me. And that further helped me become much more of an extroverted person. So it not necessarily had any kind of correlation with derm, but just kind of like my natural growing up process, I guess. But within that is how I found myself loving dermatology, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Kind of just like finding your people and finding what you're interested in, not just in terms of like science, but just personality as well. So, okay. So during medical school, particularly talking kind of about the first 2 years during the didactic period, what did you do to kind of prepare for applications?
So first year was kind of slow, I will say, because so at my baseline, I'm pretty shy. You probably don't think so, but I can be pretty shy. So I was very hesitant to kind of pursue things because a lot of the stuff was like in a huge group environment. And I was like, oh my God, like the residents are so busy. I don't think they'll have time for me, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, honestly, you just got to do it. Like, who cares? Like, you got to get over it. You just got to do it. And I remember the first thing I did was, so at UTMB, we have this clinic called the St. Vincent's Clinic. And it's basically for the underserved, underinsured in Galveston. It's like this cute, it's like they call it the little St. Vincent's house. And that's where, you know, you're able to do, like we have Derm Night, which is the first Thursday of each month. It's just dedicated to dermatology. And they throw like a little fair. I think it's like in the winter-ish every year, you know, and like the dermatology interest group goes and they like have samples of like sunscreen and like lotions, and they talk about sun safety to the people that come. And so I volunteered there with two of my classmates. And that's actually how I kind of got started. And then I reached out to our DIG president at the time for some advice on like what to go through and like what I need to do. And he actually came over to my place and we had a really good conversation about that. And then I just kind of focused on like class and just trying to like get used to med school. And then towards the second semester is when I kind of got my toe into the pond of volunteering at the St. Vincent's, but then COVID hit. And so all of that kind of shut down. And then that's when I kind of progressed second year. And I was consistently volunteering at the St. Vincent's house then. Like, I think out of second year, I was there like every month. I probably didn't go 1 or 2 months. And I just kind of, you know, the residents get to see your face a lot. And I remember one of them, Dr. Hoyer, she was like, "Ben, do you have any research?" And I said, "No." And she's like, "Do you want some?" And I'm like, "Absolutely." And that's kind of how I got the ball rolling that way. So definitely important to show a lot of face, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And it's cool to hear that, like, you know, despite COVID getting in the way of things a little bit. And it's so cool that they have like a free clinic there at UTMB. I know, like where I'm from, there's a lot of like free clinics for primary care, but it's cool to see like dermatologists getting involved in the free clinic scene. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. That's definitely something I'm interested in as well. And so you were saying that you got involved in research a little bit during your second year. Can you tell us? I just, you know, speaking for other students, I feel like research is definitely something that's like hard to, you know, it's hard to find meaningful opportunities. And then it's hard to,
absolutely,
you know, bring those to fruition in terms of like publications and presentations and whatnot. Can you just kind of walk us through your advice and your experience with research?
Yeah, sure. So basically, a lot of it got kickstarted my second year. So like I told you, initially volunteering at St. Vincent's, Dr. Hoyer at the time was very, she was one of the residents at UTMB when I was there that was like doing so much research. And she had asked me if I was interested in something. And that's how I kind of got stuff going. But there was actually two residents who were extremely pivotal in helping catapult me to doing so much research. One was Dr. Munoz, who at the time was a PGY2 resident when I was a second year. Now she's faculty at UTMB. And I will sing her praises all the day long. She is fantastic. She is wonderful. She's the sweetest person in the world. And she helped me tremendously. And I think for me, a lot of it was that, you know, like Latino Hispanic connection, because she's an IMG from Venezuela. And so she was like, yeah, so she was like a dermatologist over there. And then she came here to the States. She did a pediatric residency before doing dermatology. So yeah. And I remember I like emailed her and I had said, "Hey, Dr. Munoz, like I'm Ben, I'm a second year med student. Like, I'm wondering if you have any opportunities for research. I would love to help you. I'm so happy that, you know, there's a Hispanic resident now on the team." And she like emailed me back and she's like, "Hi, Ben. Absolutely. There's always opportunities for research in derm." And then that's how I kind of got the rapport with her. And I did so many like case reports with her and so many posters with her. And we developed like quite a bond. And honestly, I know this is kind of going a little bit forward, but she really, I feel, was pivotal in helping me to match. So Dr. Munoz, definitely. And then Dr. Siller, I met through social media. He was doing a research fellowship at the time with Dr. Tiering out in the Webster area. And I had reached out to him because he was also from the Rio Grande Valley, you know, similar kind of background like my own. And I'm like, "Hey, like, you know, I also grew up in the RGV. I'm interested in dermatology." And he was like, "Oh yeah, man, like, absolutely. Like, here's what you need to do. Here's some projects. Do you want to hop on these projects?" And so working with Dr. Siller and Dr. Munoz really helped out. That's how I really kind of got a lot of my research output. And like with Dr. Siller, I remember I did a review article about like JAK inhibitors and up and coming stuff. And then I did another case report about like cutaneous leishmaniasis. just so many interesting things. But I mean, it's really important to just like email people, especially those who you feel like you have a certain connection with and you think you guys come from similar backgrounds. I think that makes it all the much more easier to develop a connection like that and have these people vouch for you when the need arises, which ultimately is going to be fourth year and you're applying. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. And I feel like social media is such a great resource, email, social media. And it's cool to see that, you know, you were able to create like a meaningful connection with somebody just through like messaging somebody on social media. So, you know, kind of moving to more like third year. So were you able to do like an elective rotation in dermatology?
Yes. So at UTMB, they have so many derm electives, but basically there's like the clinical derm elective. And so I did that in December of my third year. And that's kind of where I developed a little bit more rapport with everybody, you know, because I had known Dr. Munoz from like reaching out to her second year, but I really didn't kind of know a lot of the other residents apart from seeing them at St. Vincent's occasionally. But I mean, it's, you know, one night of the month. And so I really kind of got to see the flow of the clinics at UTMB. I got to see all of the different attendings work at UTMB because, again, I wasn't familiar with everybody. Like, I knew of them, but I never really like interacted with them. And so finally I did. And it, I mean, it was fantastic. I had a blast. Got to see so many interesting things and really develop such a, like, such a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Appreciation for some of the attendings, or like most of the attendings we have at UTMB, because man, some of them are like wizards. Like, they're just so cool. And that's, yeah, I did that. And that really helped to kind of solidify, like I was mentioning earlier, like showing face, you know, so that they remember you, as compared to maybe some of my peers that applied that didn't do that elective. So like when fourth year comes around and you're doing like your AI rotation, they're like, oh, we're just meeting you. You know, but like when I did my AI, they're like, oh yeah, Ben, we remember you. You know, you rotated back in December and blah, 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 blah. You know, so it's really important. So I like highly recommend if anybody is able to do that during your third year, do it. Cause you need to show face at your home program. It's extremely important if you have a home program.
Oh, that's great advice. And were you just permitted one elective rotation or were you able to do multiple and different specialties or just dermatology?
So when during my third year, we were only allowed 1 4-week elective. Okay. So I chose to do it in derm.
Okay. Yeah. I just was asking because I know sometimes people are kind of trying to choose between maybe two specialties and they are trying to figure out, oh, should I do both in derm or should I do, you know, should I try this out? So that makes a ton of sense. And how about fourth year? Mm-hmm. Were you able to do any away rotations or did you do one with UTMB?
So I did three total. So I did my AI rotation with UTMB and then I did two aways. One was at George Washington University there in DC. And then the other was at USF in Tampa. So those were my two.
Awesome. And then for you, what was the importance of the away rotations? I mean, I just kind of wonder with people that like match at their home program, did they feel like the away rotation was super impactful? Cause it sounds like you got your letters from the people that you did your research with.
Yeah. So I, you know what, this is a very good question. And I really don't know how to answer it because I was really bad with my away rotation preparation. So please, whoever's listening to this, don't do what I did. I was just, it was, I remember it was like very last minute and I kind of was putting it off to the back burner. I remember, I think when all of that hustle and bustle was going on to get ready to apply on BSLO, I was on my internal med rotation. So I was just more concerned with surviving IM than dealing with these away rotations, which I think you should do your research at least like September, no, maybe like October, November of third year about places you potentially would want to pursue doing an away rotation at, so that when, you know, you get like February, March and, you know, applications are opening up, you can get everything situated that you need to, so that, you know, you're one of the first people to apply, send that in. Because I certainly was not. I remember I knew I wanted to do the rotation at GW because I have a connection to Washington, D.C. And so that was a no-brainer. The Tampa one was kind of like out of me feeling like a necessity to do another one. And I, like I told you, I really liked Florida. You know, I visited Miami before, but for, I remember I couldn't find like University of Miami away slot. So I was just like, okay, Tampa will suffice. So I like applied to Tampa, didn't think I would get it, but then I got it. So that's the story of how that happened. But I really, I mean, I think it depends on where you go. Honestly, I think you need to do a lot. I think, you know, applicants need to do a lot of research about, you know, the rosters they have currently. Like, okay, what kind of students do they usually take? You know, are like, for example, in Florida, like, are they primarily taking Floridians, you know, or are they taking their own home students, you know? And that's what you're going to have to need to take into account when you're kind of assessing the ways. I think they're beneficial because, you know, you show face at other programs, you get to learn how other programs operate as compared to maybe your home program. But I mean, it's very hit or miss in regards to, I think, if they're beneficial or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think, you know, good exposure is good exposure. So that's good advice. And then for the letters of recommendation, were you able to get those from just the two people that you mentioned earlier?
Well, no. So I didn't get any from Dr. Siller or Dr. Munoz because they were both residents. I ended up asking attendings at UTMB. So I think I got four letters. Yes, I did four letters. And when I was doing my AI is when I kind of started to develop more of a rapport with the faculty at UTMB. So for example, I remember Dr. Ross and Dr. Kroger, I really, really, really liked, and I thought I vibed really well with them. So I asked them for letters and they were like, absolutely. And then I asked our chair, Dr. Wilkerson, and he was completely like, oh yeah, sure, totally, I'll do it. And then I asked Dr. Wilson, who is one of the derm paths at UTMB. And I think she's the associate program director of the residency program. And I heard from like some of the other students, like, you know, other students who like applied and got into dermatology residency, they were like, oh yeah, well, Dr. Ross writes really good letters, or Dr. Wilson writes really, really good letters. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was kind of intimidated by some of them, but it turned out to be fine. I remember I had a very wonderful, candid conversation with Dr. Wilson about the match. And I mean, I was nervous because I felt like my stats really weren't on par with everybody else. But she was like, look, at the end of the day, if this is what you really want to do, pursue it. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't work out, apply again. Like, it's completely fine. And she was like, oh yeah, I'll absolutely write your letter for you. And I mean, it all worked out in the end. I heard, I mean, when I interviewed, not from any derm programs, but some of my like prelims and TYs, they were like, your letter writers like spoke really highly of you and said these things. And it was like, great. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. So
That's super cool. And that's cool that, man, I want to circle back a little bit. So I didn't realize that this physician that you reached out to was a resident. So how did that come to fruition, reaching out to this physician via social media?
Oh, well, I can't remember. I think he, I don't know, there was like something on Derm Twitter and I think he had tweeted something and I reached out to him and he was like, yeah, like, so he didn't match initially. So thus why he was doing that research fellowship with Dr. Thierry. And so it was good for me that he was doing that research fellowship because he had a bunch of stuff to do. But yeah, that's what he was doing. And he was getting prepared to reapply again during that time. So yeah, he was doing his research fellowship when I had reached out to him. So it like, again, all worked out because he had so many things accrued that he was, you know, that I was able to help him with. And so that really helped out. And then he ended up matching at the University of Nebraska. And so he's a PGY4 resident there right now. So he's almost out the door.
So cool. I love to see a med Twitter success story. So, and then, just kind of moving back to the interview process. So sure. I guess, can I ask how many places did you apply to?
Oh my God, 100 something. I think maybe like 100. I applied to pretty much every dermatology program except the DO exclusive ones. So that was like 100 plus, and it was very expensive.
Wow. That's wild. Crazy, man. So it worked out though, so that's awesome. So and
It
then
did.
interviews, how many interviews, and then like what advice do you have for those interviews?
I got 13 interviews total from
That's
a lot
amazing.
of places that, yeah, a lot of places that I did not expect to get interviews from. But, I think I really didn't practice a lot. In retrospect, I wish I did. So I mean, I practiced with like a friend, which is like very generic interview questions. That was gonna be like once or twice, but I wish I kind of, talk to like one of the like student advisors that we have, to kind of do more mock interview sessions, or like have done actual mock interview sessions with like some of the faculty there at UTMB, no matter how intimidating it might have been. But I don't know, I feel like maybe I was a little bit too colloquial in some of the interviews. I don't know, I felt like maybe I was a little bit too like, I don't want to say friendly, but maybe a little bit too vivacious. And I should have been like dialed it down a little bit more. That's one thing that I think I, looking back, I wish I had done. Also, just general advice would be like, if you have a lot of research, expect them to ask about what you did, especially some of the stuff that is more obscure, because that's how they get you. And you don't want to be in that position where they're asking you, hey, tell me more about this, and you're like, so just really kind of take a deep dive into everything that you did. Right, I don't know, like get a Google document or something and write like brief summarizations of all the stuff that you did that's pertinent, whether it be abstracts, posters, actual publications, and then really do like a good couple mock interviews with someone that's been through the process. So like if you have a mentor, say, hey, can we do like two or three of these, just to get yourself more comfortable to the flow? Because some of them are like pretty hardcore, and others are pretty lax. So,
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And I really like the advice of like going through kind of like, maybe those projects that weren't something that you put a ton of time into, but you still contributed it in a meaningful way. That's cool. And then just kind of like through the match process, do you have any other advice in that specifically, and then we can kind of jump back into a more like general advice applying to derm.
I don't know. I mean, I'm concerned for like the classes coming up because it's just getting so competitive. I feel like everyone is doing like a research year now, or a lot of these students have like PhDs, and it's just kind of crazy how it's becoming.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, don't lose the faith, because I feel like if I could match into dermatology, anybody could match into dermatology. So I don't, I mean, I think that maybe taking a research year is going to become more pertinent now. But obviously that depends on where you go and your output and if it was meaningful. But I think, again, finding mentors and people that are going to vouch for you is going to be the absolute best thing that you can do. I mean, you really need to have a support system. And a lot of the times it comes from your home program. And I understand, that there's some institutions that don't have home programs, but I mean, there's a lot of different avenues for people to find mentors, whether that be through like, I know like the AAD has like their diversity scholarship where you can find a mentor. I think there's like this new Latinx Dermatology Society, that has a great group of people, and you can reach out to anybody there, and I'm sure they would love to help, So I think that is really important. And just be very strategic about where you apply. Like, look at the trends of where people from your school have matched. You know what I mean? So, like, for UTMB, a lot of us match at UTMB or within Texas. you know, right. And if you want to match somewhere like in Cali or New York, you better be like, your research output better be like tremendous and like ooh la la, and your grades better be, you know, great, because, you know, those programs are really hard to get into unless you have an avenue via like a mentor or a research fellowship that you did there. So yeah, I would say just be extremely strategic. And a lot of that comes even back to when you're 30, like I was telling you about doing the OAs, you know, and just kind of getting input from the upperclassmen, like, hey, you know, where did you go? Where did you do OAs? You know, did you like the place? And just looking for trends. And a lot of that will kind of like, I think, help, especially when you're thinking about your rank list, you know?
Yeah. I just remembered, I forgot to ask this. When you were on your OAs, did you stay with like a friend, or did you just like Airbnb it, or how did you work that out?
Well, in DC, I stayed with a friend, so that all worked out. But in Tampa, I Airbnb'd.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And you just saved up some extra cash flow for that. And
yeah, I did. It was, yeah, my poor wallet, fourth year, it just took a punch. But yeah, basically, that's what I had to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. I know that's a big consideration for a lot of people. So, well, I love the ideas about the strategy and whatnot. Just looking back on the whole experience, you know, what general advice do you have for applicants, and what do you feel like was most impactful for you in getting into dermatology?
I, as far as like general advice, don't be like me. Like, don't, I remember freaking out all the time about, oh my God, am I going to match derm? Oh my God, am I going to match derm? Like, my step scores are too low. You know, I don't think I have enough research. It was just always cataclysmic. Like, please don't be cataclysmic. Like, everything works out the way it's supposed to. Like, it might not seem at the moment. Like, if you were to tell like second year Ben or third year Ben, you're going to get 13 dermatology interviews, I would have said, you know, shut the front door. Like, you're lying. But it just all works out like it's supposed to, you know? And I think, again, one of the biggest things, especially for me matching, was just having people vouch for you, you know? Like, and you don't necessarily have to be a genius. Like, I mean, if you're going through these away rotations or doing like your home rotation, you don't have to be like, you know, the Derm Bible, like trying to impress them with all your knowledge. I mean, like, sure, that's great and dandy, whatever. But a lot of them are looking for personality and for fit. Like, can we work with you? Or yeah, are you going to annoy the crap out of us? You know what I mean? Like, that's ultimately what they're kind of trying to look for, is what vibe do you bring? Because obviously you're not going to vibe with everybody, you know? And that's just it. And luckily at my home program, you know, I really ended up vibing a lot. And like, her name is Aizel, Dr. Munoz. She and I like vibed like this, you know what I mean? We're like two peas in a pod. Like, she was so, so, so wonderful. And I think she was pivotal in helping me to match. She always sung my praises. She's like, Ben, you know, I want you to match here. I'm going to do whatever I can to like, you know, put in a good word for you. You know, I always got your back. And the current PGY3 class, so when I was a fourth year, they were just, you know, derm babies, if you will. They were all great. And I really got to know, two of them were, you know, they went to med school at UTMB. So I already kind of knew of them and had reached out to them, you know, back when I was in medical school. And they were like, you know, we like you, we love your energy. And then the new folks, her husband, actually, Dr. Munoz's husband, Dr. Pinto, he also is doing dermatology residency at UTMB. So like, you know, it's just about having a crew of people to back you up. And then obviously the residents seeing your praises, the faculty hear about it. So then the faculty are like, yeah, like, I remember you in clinic, like you were so uppity. Like, I actually remember at my UTMB interview, Dr. Kroger, she had mentioned, she was like, Ben, you're so bubbly. Like, even outside of clinic, you're just so bubbly. Like, it's great. Like, that's just me, Dr. Kroger. So yeah, I mean, it's just very, very important to have people that will vouch for you. I think that is pivotal in helping you to match. So, I mean, it's extremely important to develop these personal connections, whether it be at an away rotation or at your home program or mentors outside of your home program. Like, one of my co-residents here at All Saints, you know, she has like mentors everywhere, and she really, really did a good job networking. And that's how she, you know, ended up matching at NYU Dermatology, you know, and it's a similar situation with one of my good friends, you know, her name's Brenda, Dr. Carrillo, that is going to UT Dell. Like, she was at TDS. She was talking to people, you know, she had a mentor that was a pediatric dermatologist at Dell when she was an undergrad and kept into contact with. And, you know, she did her thing. Like, I remember she was telling me at one TDS, she really enjoyed the lecture. Someone from Southwestern was giving the talk. She went up to them and said, "Hey, really liked what you were talking about." They had a discussion, and that attending was like, "Hey, like, I want you to do an away rotation here at Southwestern." And she was like, "Well, nothing works with my schedule." And she's like, "Don't worry, we will make it work with your schedule." So it's just all, it literally is all about networking and just getting out of your comfort zone and reaching out to people, because that's ultimately what's going to make it happen.
I love it. That's such good advice. And, you know, the mentorship and making meaningful connections is definitely something that's hard to do. But I feel like when the opportunity comes, I feel like anybody who's interested in Durham, we're all pretty, you know, we connect with people. So I think that's why we want to do Durham. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, before we close up here, you know, I just really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Dr. Garcia?
No, I don't think so. I just really like want to hit home that point about mentorship and finding people to vouch for you, because like ultimately that's really what's gonna set you apart from people. And, you know, like just what I have noticed, you know, just from like, you know, trends here, the people that I've talked to, that dreaded Derm Reddit spreadsheet stuff, you know, like just kind of doing my super sleuthing, you know, I just realized like a lot of it is seriously who you know and how much they like you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like for me, the people at UTMB really, really enjoyed my company. And I remember one of the residents told me, they're like, "Ben, it was a no-brainer. Like everybody loves you." You know, and there was some other people that I was kind of like, you know, looking at, and a lot of them were like, "Oh, well, their research mentor was at UMiami. Of course they're going to match at UMiami." You know what I mean? It's just those little things. So it's just, again, really important. And I think fostering those relationships as early as you can, super, super pivotal. So, I mean, obviously it can be done if you're like a third year student or a late third year student interested in dermatology. I mean, anything is possible, but obviously it's going to be that much more difficult because, you know, these people that were reaching out for a second year have an advantage. But again, that's the wonders of like research fellowships or whatever. And obviously if you have a home program, it makes it all that much easier. But yeah, it's really, 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 really all about who you know.
So cool. I love that perspective and that emphasis. One quick question before we close up.
Absolutely.
Just in regards to that, how would you recommend students, you know, if so, say somebody is in a position where maybe they don't have as many opportunities to reach out to physicians, like your friend that, you know, made a connection with somebody at UMiami, like how do they do that? Like, do they just like reach out via email? Like, I think a bunch of listeners are probably wondering.
Right. No, I mean, a lot of it is going to be if you have developed some semblance of a research interest in a certain topic and you are like articulate enough to like say like, "Hey, you know, I'm interested in hair disorders." You know, you would just kind of like look across the country and see like, "Hey, who are the big wigs in hair disorders?" And like reach out to them. Yeah, maybe they won't reply the first time, but persistence is key, right? So just cold emailing people, eventually someone is going to bite and take you under their wing, you know, that's what you got to do. So, and then also like these meetings, you know, like I was telling you about my friend, Dr. Carrillo, like in Texas, we have the TDS, like reaching out to people there and like stopping them and say, "Hey, like, I'm so invested in your work. I think it's fantabulous. Like, do you have any opportunities for me?" And then that's how you start a relationship. And then you just kind of go from there. So like at the AAD or the Society of Pediatric Dermatology, if that's your thing, or, you know, the dermatopathology meeting that they have, just all about just reaching out to strangers and seeing if, you know, they're amenable to you jumping on their projects. And you know what? Eventually you're going to find someone that you vibe with and it's just going to work out. So
I love it. That's such good advice. Definitely something we can all incorporate. So, well, there you have it, Dr. Garcia. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the DIGA podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Please send us any questions or comments to derminterestpod@gmail.com.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.